sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 133, C'est la vie. Today's poetry is really simple. It just goes, I forgive myself and I release. That's it. I forgive myself and I release. More on that in final thoughts. Hey, welcome and bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Before I start the show, I want to welcome back you returning listeners. And for your new listeners, I got to give you a heads up like I always do. And it goes like this. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is December 10th, 2023, and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Ooh, excuse me. Goddamn. All right. Goddamn. I am thinking of changing up that intro. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Okay. Before, let me just... This is the part where I hold hands of you new listeners. And just to let you know, break down my podcast. I like to break down my episodes into three sections. Three. You did that on purpose, didn't you? Sorry about that. Three acts, if you will. First act is the introduction. Second act is using random thoughts. And third act is final thought. I'm thinking I'm changing it to last word, but doesn't matter. For now, it's final thoughts. And you'll notice that if you go into the show notes, usually what I talk about, there's a link for it, I provide links, and it's broken down into these three categories. All right. So in the introduction, I like to do shit like, play the theme song, recite some poetry, I'll give you the title of the episode, when I was talking about changing my intro a bit, probably break down. So in my intro, what I'm trying to say is, y'all, if you're white, if you're white, or more like, this show is not white fragility. This is not a safe space for white fragility. That's a heads up for white people. But for black folks, it's to say that, you know, this is about my blackness, and my blackness consists of the Haitian flag, and the red black is the Ottawa team, and also I emphasize the fact that I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City. It's another way of saying, yeah, I'm a black Canadian. But yeah, that's what the introduction is all about. But introduction, I also like to do shit like share some history, like did you know, on December 9th, 1983, Scarface was released in theaters. Scarface came to New York. I want to be it. And also on December 4th, 2001, yes, Jay-Z's birthday, Nas released the track Ether. Heavy diss track. Now, I should have covered that last week, but on last episode, but whatever. It's only hit my radars recently. Oh, no, I don't like doing history on midweek episode, but that's another story. Another thing I like to do in the introduction is read out a quote. And today's quote goes like, is it a quote? Quote that I got from Talon Macy, and it goes, it's better to be boldly decisive and risk being wrong than agonize at the length and be right too late. Marilyn Motes Kennedy. I'm laughing at this quote because I'm trying to get off Uber Eats, but I was in a situation where I was like, I shouldn't have Uber Eats, whatever, right? And I was being indecisive, and I just said, fuck it. And I followed this advice, knowing it was a bad choice. But at least I am not agonizing on, at least a decision was made. All this to say, I agree with this quote, which is why I'm sharing it with you. And that's it for the introduction. Now, news and random thought. Last episode, I tried to keep it under 20 minutes, but I was unsuccessful. But this week, I am not going to try that shit again. Because news and random thoughts, I have a lot of points to get through. At least eight items to get through. And containing that in 20 minutes, I don't think it's possible. But final thoughts will be short. Like less than 10 minutes. Oh, besides, again, my Uber Eats, I don't want that shit to get cold. So, so let's try this, man. I'm going to try this. That's the executive decision I made. We're going to have a... I don't know how long using random thought is going to be, but there's a lot of items to go through, 8 items to go through. So bear with me. All right. You ready, boys and girls? Okay. Let's do this. Okay. All right. First, let's start with some news. Now, this is something, it was in my timeline constantly. It kept popping up in my timeline, and I am not going to read it. So it's regarding Lenny Kravitz. So apparently, Lenny Kravitz had an interview with Sister Record Straight about Black Men. He had an interview where he commented on the fact that, yeah, I'm surprised that I ain't getting any love from Black folks. Now, I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly what it said, but it came off. I guess it was interpreted like that. But I guess he was just trying to say, hey, man, I'm a Black artist. Yes, I do rock and roll, but I'm surprised that I'm not, like the award shows, I haven't gotten any award, any kind of acknowledgement from my own people. I guess you should read the article. And in this post in the Griot, Lenny Kravitz clarifies what he meant by that. Now, that's the news, but where I want to comment on is, first I want to say shout out to the Black Guy Who Tips, because I was listening to the episode where they actually covered it. I was like, oh my God, this can't be a coincidence. It must be. And I'm not going to read the whole piece, but what I am going to say, the reason I'm sharing it is because what Lenny Kravitz is talking about, it reminds me of growing up Black Canadian, where we knew we were Black, but we didn't feel like we were. It's like we knew we were Black. We didn't question it. But it felt like Black Americans were their own things, and they had their gatekeepers. And it's like I have to be more specific about the fact that I'm being Black. I mean, well, not in front of white folks. But what I'm getting at is there was a time where a lot of Black Canadian artists were like on the outside, like Lenny Kravitz was. We weren't considered part of, we were Black, but which is why when Drake made it big was be accepted by Black Americans, not just being accepted, but like praised, like he was one of their own. It was a big deal for us. It was a big deal for us. And so I'm just saying, I get it. I understand what Lenny Kravitz is getting at, even though, I've never had any problems with Lenny Kravitz. I was thinking of, he's got a song with Jay-Z. Not that, are you going to go my way? Yeah, and I don't have a problem with Lenny Kravitz. I just, you know, wasn't into the rock genre. I mean, older me is probably would probably start listening to more of his music. Hold on a second. Let me see if that's what that line is. Okay. I got to be on standby. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I'm saying I get it. I get it. And I'm sure there's a lot of asshole gatekeepers of Black American cultures who are going to be like, we're going to misinterpret what he meant by what he was saying. Oh, yeah. There's another part I should bring up is, I should have brought up is when the word came out about Lenny Kravitz's article, a lot of black journalists commented on, hey, yo, some of your peoples, we reached out, but your people told us to back out, to that they you weren't interested in being covered by us. And what's interesting, and I got this from Black Eyed Tips, and he mentioned how it's because hearing Lenny Kravitz's story made me think of the Black Canadian experience, especially the Black Canadian artists trying to break in Black American culture, Black American industry. And he mentioned Drake, and apparently Drake was really, what's the word? Not proactive, but was really, like, he made sure he talked to his PR team and said, hey, don't fuck around, man. What? BT wants to holler at me? Yes, take their call. And he knew he had to talk to his PR people and made sure he had to take an active role to make sure what happened to Lenny Kravitz doesn't happen to him. So that's interesting, man, the industry. Now, on the Black Eyed Tips, they label this as they have a segment called Fucking with Black People, and they rate every story about fucking with black people. My problem is I can't play the game because fucking with black people, everything is Dracarys for me. Everything is 100%. And I'm not mad at Lenny Kravitz, but I am mad at the white man for putting this brother in this predicament. There we go. All right, that's it. Okay, next item. Okay, that was the only news I was covering. Now everything else is just thoughts. Okay, the first one comes from, I'm just getting it out the way. Trying to sort through my paperwork. Okay, this one we're going to learn together because I'm trying to make sense out of it. But what initially got my attention is, so it's a tweet by Dr. John Paul, they are the co-host for the Black Fat Fam podcast. If you're familiar with my podcast, you know that I'm a fan of theirs. And he posted, I guess, a response from a woman named Miss Netta. And okay, Dr. John Paul's caption reads, a lot of y'all believe that people should only have love if they are conventionally attractive. Meanwhile, that's why they are at home making jokes about the plates instead of reheating one. Okay, what I like about that quote is, yes, I agree with that notion. It's like we seem to live in a world that, you know, unless you are conventionally attractive, you don't deserve to exist. I'm actually thinking of making a joke about that, but sorry, it's another story about a bit where, to speak on the notion that, yeah, unless you got perfect, how did Tyrion say it? Perfect bone cheeks. You ain't trying to hear shit. Okay, I'm just gonna play this comment and then take it from there. Play the video. Oh shit, she does have onions. Hey, hold on a second. Okay, I'm gonna play this comment. Take it from there.
Happy out there.
Okay, so this is Miss Netta speaking about, I guess, on the haters, people coming at her for, and because people are shitty. So here we go.
Half of you out there know. I don't gotta keep telling and explaining myself. If you don't know, then you just don't know. Stop asking questions and stuff. Just get with the program. Y'all here for me. Y'all here for me. Y'all not here for my sexuality or what I got and what I don't have and stuff. Y'all stop it, please, okay? It doesn't matter. Y'all either gonna be here for me or not. I see all the little nasty comments and all that other stuff the hating people is doing towards Ms. Netta. Get my numbers up. That's what I'm saying. But just like I said, if you don't know, you better find out. Let me tell y'all something. All this hating stuff that y'all are hating on me about, Why are y'all hating on me because I got a man and y'all don't have one, you know? And then y'all in his inbox trying to talk to him and trying to send him pictures and all that other stuff. He is not going to budge. And it's not the reason because he's homeless and he I'm going to put him out or whatever. That is not the reason. That is not the fact. This home that we own, we own this home. This is not my house. This is not his house. This is our house. Both of our names is on this house. So I cannot put him out. You know, so he's not going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. And that is what it is. And job of he don't have a job and I'm just supporting and paying all the things. That's why he with me. Not true. If y'all friends with Charles, Miss Netta.
I love when people who are not conventionally attractive are in relationships. But not just in relationship, but the kind of relationship that make the rest of y'all angry. That make people like that angry. The people who she's speaking to angry. Now, again, I'm not sure who she is. I'm sharing this more for the comments made by Dr. John Paul. I went to the site of Miss Netta. It's called Miss Netta TV. And I'm going to read her about us. And it goes, the woman behind... excuse me. The woman behind the raffles and the skits, meet Miss Netta. Miss Netta is a multi-talented digital creator, motivational speaker, and comedian. Hold on a second. Sorry, I just had a vision. I just had a vision of using those attributes for myself. B-Black is a multi-talented digital creator. Wow, okay. Am I looking into the future? Hold on a second. Okay, let me get back. Yeah, Miss Netta is a multi-talented digital creator, motivational speaker, and comedian. She is known for her hilarious skits, inspirational speeches, and exciting raffles. With a passion for entertaining and empowering others, Miss Netta has become a rising star in the world of digital content creator. Good for her. Through her work, she aims to spread positivity and encourage her audience to chase their dreams. Wow, man. Yeah, man. Sorry, man. This world just gives me reasons to be angry. Okay, hold on. Let me balance it out. The Miss Netta of the world give me hope. Give me a reason to smile at the world. The people coming at her, fuck. I hate y'all with a passion. I hate them with a passion. Anyway, yeah, I'm just, to be honest with you, I'm not sure what the story, except for the fact that I noticed the video, and I'm like, okay, she's a human being, and apparently she's being attacked for not looking like Megan Good. I don't know, you know, more later, but shout out to Dr. John Paul for putting stuff like this on my timeline. All right, what else do I got? Okay, speaking of mean people suck. This next clip I'm just going to play by Leslie Norton. I'm just going to play it right now and then comment after. So here
just,
we go.
Just going to respond to an email that I just got saying congratulations on your pregnancy. If you're going to wear old bus driver pants, you have to expect emails like this. So thanks for that. No, I'm not pregnant. I actually lost my uterus to cancer last year. And this is what women of my age look like. So if it is offensive to you, that is unfortunate. Think about the emails that you sent. Just get a response.
That's amazing. Yeah, think about the emails that you sent. Again, highly sensitive person. I read that. I heard that message, and I went 0 to 100. And all I could do is wish I could figure out who's the asshole that sent that email. But I don't think that's I think that's irrelevant. I think what controlling the things you can't control. I can't beat the shit out of the person because I can't find them who wrote that message. But I love the fact that Leslie Norton, I don't know this person. I just know she was unfairly attacked, but she stood strong. She responded. I love the way she responded. And this is just me giving her flowers for her response. It's going to suck if later I find out that she says some racist shit. I don't know. Sorry. That, I have this habit of anytime I meet a new white person, assuming the worst. But yeah. Sorry. Sticking to being, you know why I went into racism? Because it's Global Calgary. So I'm like, ah, man, fuck it. But okay, sorry. Let me stick to the original point of this message is mean people suck. And good for you, Leslie Horton, for not letting these motherfuckers bring you down. That was a mature way to respond in a world full of shit. You know, I'm trying to let this thing inspire me for the way she handled that, man. Her and Miss Netta. All right, okay. What else I got? Okay, I am not going to play this whole clip. Fuck that. But apparently, well, GTA. Was it GTA 4? Okay, you know, you can go to.
Put a pause here. Video.
Okay, yeah. Fuck it. I'm not going to play this. All right. It's GTA Grand Theft Audio 6. Sorry. I had to remind myself what V1 meant. Grand Theft Audio 6. Right. So the trailer came out, right? And it's amazing. It's fucking amazing. You should watch it for yourself. The reason I'm sharing this, the clip is some, I don't know who this person is, but they're a conservative personality, and they're the ones playing the trailer, and he's just amazed at the graphics and all that, right? But the reason I'm sharing this is because at the end he says, yeah, but I'm not going to play this clip because it's too violent. So I'm sure it's too violent. I'm paraphrasing, but he pretty much says it's going to go against my Christian values. Hearing him speak reminded me of growing up Christians and being surrounded by a bunch of motherfuckers who love to tell you what they're not going to do, but actually going to do. It's like, oh, yeah, no, man, I don't, I'm not going to go to these clubs because there's too much heathenism in there. I'm not in the world. Yeah, you'll see them at the club. It's not the fact that they're in the club that's the problem. It's the fact that they're fucking hypocrites about it. Or the worst is they disrespect people for going to the club. They, oh man, oh, you're not a good Christian. It's all them, you're not a good Christian types that piss me off. I'm sharing this because homie reminded me, again, like I said, growing up in church and being surrounded by people who kept telling you what they would do, tell you what they would do, but not what they would actually do. Hold on a second. Their words and their actions contradicted themselves. So hearing them say, go from, basically, I don't think in this world of conservatism, self-acceptance is a thing. At least I did not learn in my journey as a Christian, the concept of self-acceptance was, it was all bullshit. It's why today I have difficulty taking people at their words. Yeah, it's like I'm a skeptic human being, and the more you try to convince me of one thing, basically I learned to trust my eyes more than, what's that saying, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. I'm that guy. Say shit you're not going to do. Oh, and last but not least is it's also the reasons why I don't trust anyone who focuses more attention on other people's faults than they do on their own. As soon as they start getting judgmental, I'm like, hey, what are you hiding? What exactly are you hiding? Yeah, you lose me as soon as you do that shit. But anyways, Grand Theft Audio 6 looks interesting, but apparently it's only going to be available on the PS5, and I think you're going to need like a big-ass machine to run that motherfucker. All right. I'm rushing through this like a guy who doesn't want his food to get cold. All right, okay, this clip got my attention. I'm going to read it, this tweet, that it goes, making new friends as an adult is like dating. Amen, sister. Sometimes you get excited over someone you think you have a connection with, and you overextend yourself because you're hype, but the smoke and mirrors clears up, and it can be very embarrassing when the person isn't who they appeared to be. Two things this thing had me thinking about, this tweet, this message by content creator is Glojacal. These people need creative names. Insta self care caca. Right. Anyways, two things it made me think about. The first one was the loneliness epidemic and the, how it is a challenge to make new friends as an adult. Especially me. I was just thinking about that. I might comment about it It hit me like while smoking weed is like, I think I smoke weed to not dwell on the fact that I'm feeling lonely right now. I'm feeling lonely. Yeah, once I smoke that weed, I think of everything else. Or maybe I suppress it easier. I don't know. But I was thinking about the fact that the second thought is what she was saying is making new friends as an adult is like dating. Yes, she's correct. The same fear I have as dating. Same fear I have of dating is the same fear I have as making new friends. It's one, making friends with the wrong person, not having the ability to distinguish between good and bad. Because I've met some shitty people who made me regret any attempts to not be lonely. And hold on, as I move my mic, shuffle my mic. I should write this shit down. Did I mention this already? I said, like dating, my biggest fear is either meeting the wrong person or meeting the right person and being the one who fucks it up. The other thing about dating, what I like about what you said is, I think that's what makes why loneliness is an epidemic is because if I think for myself, I think of the challenges into making friends as an adult is part of it is accepting the fact that you're going to fuck up. I don't like fucking up. I don't like wasting my time, but you're going to fuck up. And my inability, my fear of fucking up is what's keeping me lonely. You know what I mean? I'm not lonely because no one wants to play with me. No, it's because I created this wall of, yeah, I've seen what a shitty relationship, what a shitty friendship looks like, and I don't want to go through that shit again. You know, it's messed up, man. Yeah, there's a lot of shitty people out there. But there's a lot of good people. It's a tough balance. It's a tough game to play. I don't know, man. I guess I'm like, shout out to those of you who've managed to make sincere, good connections with other human beings and making friends, whether it's relationship or friendship. Shout out to you for figuring it out. The rest of us some of us are trying to catch up and some of us are like, fuck that. Good for you. I'll stay on the sideline as I celebrate your victories. But this, I really love this tweet, man. I really loved it. All right, next I got, oh my God, yes. What's the content creator's name? Okay, I'm just going to play it. And basically, this lady, I talked about Ether. Yo, she's about to Ether the cult of masculinity. And it's a reminder to why I left that motherfucking cult. But here we go, sister. I'm going to play it.
So I'm probably going to end up blocked.
Break it down. Okay, now the comment that she's speaking about, that she's responding to is some ass, speaking of assholes on the internet, responded to her and said, Russell may be a good man and all that, but he's still getting a bunch of hood dudes sloppy seconds. I guess he's talking about Russell Wilson, who is married or dating. I'm not a real man. How do I not know this shit? Is it Russell Wilson? Sierra. Here. Sierra and Russell. Are they married or are they... Sierra and Russell Wilson have been married since 2016. Yeah. Apparently they're in a very happy relationship. But the kind of relationship that motherfuckers, some assholes can't handle. Anyway, so this content creator is about to set these motherfuckers straight. So here we go. All right. There's a contest. Let's go.
So I'm probably going to end up blocking you, but I did want to talk a little bit about this. And granted, I know everything that I say is going to go right over your head. I do not expect you to understand what I'm talking about at all. You're going to be extremely confused. But anyway, when I see comments like this, I'm reminded of how much heterosexual men are missing out on the full human experience.
Word.
This is a woman. She is not sloppy seconds. She does not belong to a bunch of hood dudes. She is a woman. And
she's talking about Sierra.
A beautiful one at that. But because you are in a mental state, as are many men, where you see women as objects, as a used vagina or a not used vagina, right, you'll never know what it is to have a true connection with women. And this is not something you can fake. It's not something that anybody's going to be able to explain to you. You're just never going to have it. It's like having brain damage at a really early age.
Right.
And so when you see someone like Russell Wilson, it confuses you and it enrages you because you're denying yourself your full humanity. And so when you see this man who is willing to be vulnerable in ways that scare you, the child part of your brain, the part of your brain that knows that it has been taken advantage of, the ill-advised part of your brain, the stunted growth part of your brain, the little boy calls this man a simp and uses terms like sloppy seconds because you don't know what it means to be an adult man in love with a woman. And if you ever had the chance to experience a connection with a woman that goes beyond sexual or transactional in any way, especially a woman as beautiful as Sierra, you would stumble through it so badly that you wouldn't be able to live with yourself. It would be an incredibly shameful experience for you. And you know this, and that's why you hate them. They are a reminder, especially Russell, of how remedial you are in your relationships with women because you can't connect with women because you don't see them as women, you see them as objects.
Right.
And so this huge part of your humanity that's gonna just be missing for the rest of your life, this deep gaping chasm that you're gonna try and fill with everything from male validation to schmornography is never gonna be filled. And you will never know the joy of seeing a woman smile without the extreme shame of thinking she's laughing at you. You are always going to feel like a joke, especially around women. And that is why you're going to hate us more every day as you get older. This denial of the feminine makes you not human. Men who hate women are like boys who were raised by wolves. Forever illiterate, you will never know poetry. This kind of thinking is not sophisticated. It's backwards. It's shameful. It's sad. It's really pathetic. And it's lonely. And we can all see it. It's really sad. And so there are men who grow up and who experience the full richness and spectrum of life. And they know what it feels like to have their harmless imperfections accepted because they accept the harmless imperfections in other people, recognizing that those harmless imperfections are art. They are beauty. There are people who live their lives enjoying their full humanity so much so that it extends into divinity. And then there are people like you who are stunted, who hate girls, and who think that wrestling is real.
God damn it. Sorry. There we go. Oh my God. That was a...
Bullfire.
My God. She deserved that one, man. Yo, she burnt. She... Look. She owned you. Nah, man. It's amazing here. I just was just talking about the loneliness epidemic, right? Difference with me is I'm willing to acknowledge it. Acknowledge these moments of loneliness. That everything she described, everything she said, it's amazing. Oh my God. I'm complaining about my state where I am, but I should be grateful that I am not the men she's speaking about. I understand the diss. I understand the diss, how what she said, it's going to go over your head. No, I know what she's saying. It's pretty much saying, it's like, you it's like the people I grew up with dissing hip hop. And I got defensive about it. I'm like, you know what? There's a beauty in this art called hip hop that you will never get to experience because you're so stupid, being so stupid about it. And yeah, man, again, shout out to this content creator. Her name is, oh yes, it's Lizzie B. And for sharing, for saying that. And reminding me of, maybe I should pat myself on the back, reminding me that I am not those guys. You know what I was really thinking about while she was ethering this dude? Is how it's, I need to change the barbershop. I love my barbershop, but a lot of motherfuckers who go there are the people she just dissed. There's no growth in that way. I don't want to change barbershop because it's a bad one. It's more, I'm starting to think it's playing into the, how I have this idea that there's nothing left for me in this world. And I think it's because I believe that because I keep surrounding myself with people who have that kind of mindset. Bitches ain't shit. You know, and anyway, I'm gonna leave it at that, man. No, I'm just gonna conclude with y'all deserve that shit. That was powerful. Okay. Not bad for time. Okay, what else do I got here? Okay, did this, covered this. Alright, okay. Now this is one of those posts that I haven't read. The title got my attention, and I remember saving it, and I told myself, I'm gonna read it on the show. And the title, okay, this is from the subreddit Feminism. And the title goes, how misogynists are targeting young boys. Here goes. When I started writing, how do I switch? Wait a minute. Oh, sorry. Okay. When I started writing this book, I put out a call for interviewees asking parents if their teenage son might be willing to talk to me about their experiences online and particularly their perception of feminism. One mother contacted me immediately, suggesting I speak to her 12-year-old son. While he was playing video games, she had heard other players tell him over the speaker system that feminism is a cancer. Andrew Angling of the Daily Stormer wrote the following. Our target audience is white males between the ages of 10, wow, and 30. Damn, y'all going young. I include children as young as 10 because an element of this is that we want to look like superheroes. Yeah, I get it. We want to be something that boys fantasize about being a part of. That is the core element of this. I guess we skipped a line, but I'm gonna just keep reading. There's a word missing, so sorry if this doesn't make sense. The use of gaming as a recruitment tool is taken a step further by some who have realized the unique opportunity it affords to place young players directly into the shoes you'd like them to occupy. Literally directing their viewpoints. In 2018, a PUA named, PUA, I think that's a pickup artist, named Richard La Runa created a video game called Super Seducer, which lets you play a character as La Runa as he chats up women in parks, pubs, and nightclubs. One review called it the world's sleaziest game. Widely available online, the game was successful enough to spawn 2 sequels. Oh, wow. Its budget increasing tenfold with Super Seducer 2, Advanced Seduction Tactics, described by massive gaming platform Steam as a super massive hit. In a choose-your-own-adventure style format, the game repeatedly presents players with an options that border on harassment or assault. Damn. Do you introduce yourself or look her or look up her skirt? I'm not trying to fuck you up the arse, the character yells angrily when the woman rejects him. The context quite literally allows for the classic manosphere defense. It's all just a bit of fun. No, it's not. It's programming. John Donovan, Media Manipulation Research, lead at Data and Society, said in an interview that online extremism have been using game culture as one of their spaces for recruitment. And Christian Pisciolani? Okay, I'm going to read this in French. Pisciolini. Oh, Italian name. A former neo-Nazi, fuck that nigga, who went who went on to found the Free Radical Project, a global prevention network for extremism, told the same interviewer that extremists can reach out to young people through their gaming headsets. Interesting. Typically, they'll start out with dropping slurs about different races or religions and kind of test the waters. Once they sense that they've got their hooks in them, they ramp it up, and then they start sending propaganda links to other sites. I recall the dismay of Alex Baum when she overheard other players shouting feminist is a cancer to, oh my God, this shit is cut off. Okay, it's cut off. Okay, but you get the point. You get the gist of this whole of this post. The whole targeting 10 to 30 years old. You know what's interesting is because it had me thinking about something I said on the past episode of how I grew up. I was in response to this woman saying that, yeah, men gotta treat men. Fathers need to treat their son how to be men. And I think it's bullshit. I think a father should help their sons or their kids figure out who the hell they are, what they are, especially if who they are doesn't agree with who society thinks they should be. So I grew up and there was a disconnect between my dad, between who my dad wanted me to be and who I wanted to be. So as a result, I kept treating my dad as someone who just doesn't get it, who I couldn't trust to know what's best for me. I don't think he understood that or he saw it that way, but or maybe he just probably saw me as not rebel. I wasn't a bad kid, but I remember the words, I know what's good for you, was the last thing he wants to, and I'd be like, yeah, whatever. All this to say, because I went on my own to figure out who I should be, I would have probably trusted a wolf, a piece of shit, a worm like that. Actually, yeah, no, hip-hop was like my older brother. Was like my older brother slash pops. Teaching me, not just hip-hop and R&B and movies, what it means to be a man. That's who I would use to figure things out. It was all wrong. Oh my God, yeah. I 48 and I'm still unlearning some of this shit. The thing that this post had me thinking about is, what if this podcast could be an alternative voice for a young man to listen to? Now, I'm not out there trying to tell men, hey, who you should be. What I am saying is what I'm trying to do for myself. And I'm kind of hope it inspires you to do the same for your own self. Not follow into my footsteps. Unless you're an asshole. Yeah, I kind of need you to reel that in. Yeah, if you're an asshole, cut that shit out of your life. But not young men. I would rather speak to young men who are in the same predicament as me. Who, look, the people in my life can't help me figure out who I want to be. Yeah. Anyways, this podcast is a work in progress, and who knows, that might be the direction I end up going. As I continue to figure out who my target audience is, this post gave me an idea of maybe, there's a need for young boys to have a voice to listen to help them guide them in this journey called life. Anyways, yeah, I'm glad I read this, man. Even though it's kind of out of line. Hold on, let me read the first quote. Feminist is a quote. Okay, you know what? Again, links is in the show notes. You could read this stuff for yourself. What else do I got? I'm done? Oh, okay, one last thought. Okay, I added this one last minute. It goes, being fake polite. I was on the, yesterday I was on a chat for 3GO, three guys on, they were recording, and they were talking about how they don't say hi to their neighbors, And in my building, we do that. It's a natural thing, right? But it was interesting. It was interesting reading the comment section and reading Randolph and specifically Randolph, because he had more to say about the topic and about how, oh, because he had a shitty neighbor. That's a different story. But it's basically, en français, you so keep de soi-même. You keep to yourself. You keep to yourself in your neighborhood. And I bring this up because it had me thinking about how I can't do that. I see another human being, I have to acknowledge their existence. Now, at first I thought I was being a nice guy. But later, through therapy, I realized that, and I thought my therapist, it's more me, I just noticed that. No, I do that as a way to say, hey, white person, I am not a threat. Like, I always have this feeling, this constant need of reassuring white people that I'm not a threat. I'm a big black guy, but hey, you don't have to worry about me robbing your purse. Times aren't that hard and I can't run fast. I've noticed that a conversation I have with my therapist is trying to get out of that habit, this constant need of, because it's not my fucking responsibility. But then again, it's easy to say, but as a black guy, you know, that shit could get you killed if the wrong white person feels uncomfortable around you. Anyways, listening to the conversation, it just made me realize how, yeah, Canadians are probably known for being polite, but a lot of us are actually fake polite. We just do the polite shit just to convince you that we're good people. So in addition to feeling the need to reassure white people that I'm not a threat, I also have this need of convincing the world that I am not a bad person. So I say, I'll fake polite, hey, hi, you know, I'll make eye contact. Actually, I don't know when I'm being genuine or when I'm being, I don't want this person to think that I'm a bad person. Because I do like these moments between two strangers where you acknowledge your each other's existence, smile, and keep going. Keep it moving. No fucking long-ass conversation, but just keep it going. Just a little. Sometimes I do have my moods where I'm like, not Neil Armstrong, the other Armstrong, Louis Armstrong. Had to Google. Louis Armstrong, what a wonderful world. They're just staring, saying, I love you. Oh, hold on a second. That's my phone. Sorry about that. I am letting my Uber eat. This is good timing on their part. All right, yeah, okay, I'm doing good on this thing. Yeah, so where was I going with this? Yeah, being fake polite. Nah, I say it's a Canadian thing, but deep down in myself, it's a mean thing for, like, you know, there's the Canadian aspect of it too, but I know that I could be guilty. Sometimes I'm being fake and sometimes I'm being genuine. And the thing is, I don't know when's the difference. I can't tell you. Anyways, yes. Not bad, be black. Holy shit, it's amazing. I'm looking at the time and I'm doing great time here. All right, let's. This concludes final news and random thoughts. So let's just jump to final thoughts, and we get to get the fuck out of here. All right, is there something I wanted to talk about? Yeah. Okay. Let's keep it going. Yeah. All right. And there's my Uber Eats out there, so I don't want my food to get cold. So let's do this. All right. All right. Here we go. I hit pause to pick up my Uber Eats, and it hit me. I'm like, because I got some ramen noodles. That was called ramen noodles, and it hit me. I know how to warm up broth. Jesus Christ, man! So take your time, B. Take your time. I'm actually impressed on the time that I'm doing on this podcast. But here we go. Let's keep doing this. Okay, final thought. Let's do this. What's up with today's title? What is the title? Oh, c'est la vie. All right. You know how I came about it? Okay, so what's funny is this is a song. It doesn't matter at this point, but I remember I was trying to remember this song in one of the episodes, and it goes, I forgive myself and I release. By Jemenel Rollins, right? Simple song. The whole song is just, I forgive myself and I release. The whole point. And thought it was powerful first time I heard it. Now, the reason the title of the episode is C'est la vie is because there's a scene, there's the official video for this song, and there's a scene where I remember something was written on her arm, a tattoo, and I remember backing out. Sorry, I went from, wait a minute, that shit is French, and for C'est la vie. I just thought it was so cool how it was out of focus, and then as you zoom out, it's as if you weren't meant to, it was... Only smart people are going to catch the symbolism. You know when there's symbolism in the movie? I don't know, whatever. But I remember being like so proud of myself for catching that, for paying attention to her tattoo. And I remember thinking to myself, say a lot, pronounce it in English and remembering that, wait a minute, you speak French, dummy. C'est la vie. This is life. And I found myself thinking, damn, that should be a title for an episode. But two reasons why it became a title. Well, three reasons, actually. Okay, first one is because it was a tattoo. Second, there's a scene in that video. Now, this is not no high-budget video with models all over the place. No, it's a simple message, right? And she's just showing her younger self dealing with her mom, who's an alcoholic. And then she's older, and then she deals with her mother, and her mother's trying to make peace with her daughter. Oh my God. There's a scene where the mother, who was shitty to her child and is trying to amends, trying to make it work with her child, and she ain't trying to hear it. And oh my God, the shit broke my fucking heart, man. I got emotional. Like if I was in therapy, I'd be like, my therapist would be like, oh, you feel like crying? I'd be, let it cry. And I'm like, nope. I have these moments in therapy where tears want to come out, and I'm like, fuck that, you ain't gonna make me cry, and then it's too late. But I was overwhelmed with emotions by the scene of the mother trying to make things right with the daughter, and the daughter ain't trying to hear shit. And I guess that's the part she's trying to forgive herself. I don't know, maybe she's trying to forgive herself for him, or she can't let go. But it hit me. Maybe it's because the lady playing her mother had the same complexion as my mother and same hairstyle, so it had me thinking and about my own self. But it was, oh fuck, it was, shit made me want to cry. So I remember, yeah, usually I like to stick with titles, stick with topics that there was an emotion behind it. And that's how I ended up with this title for this episode, because of something I saw in her video. Now, the last reason, I said there was three, the last reason why I went with this title is, I just realized that I don't understand the concept of forgiving yourself. Or maybe I don't want to understand it. Because the first time someone introduced me to the concept of forgiving yourself, it was my first therapist, and she was trying to say this with respect to, I had gotten out of a shitty relationship, and I needed healing. I needed a lot of healing. And she used the word, yeah, forgive yourself. And I guess maybe I understand it, but don't want to understand it. But I remember her saying that, and I'm like, it doesn't make sense to me. And the reason why I suspect that maybe I don't want to understand it, maybe I can't get myself to forgive myself, maybe it's because I don't believe I'm allowed to forgive myself, maybe it's because I grew up with this notion that forgiveness can only be granted to you by forgiveness to yourself can only be granted to you by this white boy, this almighty white boy in the sky named God, white Jesus. Like, I don't know what self-forgiveness looks like. Again, maybe I just don't want to. Like, there's a lot of, like, contempt. I have a lot of self-contempt. And you know what? It's not like fucking I'm responsible for the Holocaust or anything like that, or I've oppressed some people. Like, I haven't done shitty things in my life, and yet I have a lot of contempt for myself. So it's my point in all this is acknowledging that all this time I'm surrounded by people saying, forgive yourself, but it's the one time where I'm like, I don't know what that means or what I should do, which is why I ended up sharing a, not sharing, finding this, this is interesting, WebMD. I'm not going to read all this. I'm not going to read all this, but okay. But I told myself I was going to read it on the show, and it goes, fuck it. All right, I'm gonna go. How to forgive yourself. Medically reviewed by Dr. Brennan, MD. WebMD, folks. I'm okay, holding on to negative events increases your stress level. Yeah, yeah, and it's empowering, too. And generally lowers your enjoyment of life. Man, shut up. That's what I got weed for. Look at me. It results in feeling resentful, angry, and upset. It's important that you learn to adapt, correct your errors, and grow from negative events. A key component to being able to do this is to be able to forgive yourself for any mistake or wrongdoing you may have done. You know, I still can't get myself to forgive myself for my first relationship. Even though I didn't know any better. I am so mad. Like, I'm not cussing out. I'm not one of those people who cusses out their ex, but I am one of those people who doesn't forgive themselves. Who can't let go of that shit. It's like, I can acknowledge the fact she is who she is. She is who she was. My biggest mistake was going with someone I wasn't compatible with. But I'm still angry at it. Anyways, okay. What is self-forgiveness versus self-compassion? It is easy to mistake self-forgiveness with self-compassion. Self-compassion is different but similar to self-forgiveness. The three hallmarks of self-compassion are kindness to yourself. Sorry. Life is not perfect, so why would you be able to... Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Oh, man. Okay, let me try to hang up this phone. How do I silence this? Can I? All right. Okay. Sorry about that. That was my WhatsApp. People who call you on WhatsApp got nerves. Okay. Where was I? Kindness to yourself. Life is not perfect. That's my dad. Hold on a second. Is he doing this on purpose? A sec. All right. They'd be persistent. All right, okay. Kindness to yourself. Life is not perfect, so why would you be able? Why would people be? When the going gets tough, the things do not go to plan. People who practice self-compassion remember this: they acknowledge the inevitability of imperfection and are caring and loving to themselves. Shared humanity. Everyone experiences setbacks in life. Everyone will feel difficult. Will feel difficult emotions or have to problem solve as unexpected situation arise. Giving yourself compassion means not thinking that you are the only person in the world who experiences these things. Still not getting it. Clarity and mindfulness. Having negative emotions can make people feel uncomfortable. Commonly, they will either exaggerate or downplay these emotions. Being able to clearly sit with these emotions and see them for what they are is a sign of self-compassion. Self-compassion is different from self-forgiveness in that self-forgiveness is a way of reconciling the way you see yourself after you experience guilt, shame, and disappointment. These feelings happen when you do something that makes you question the image you have of yourself. Therefore, it is a facet of self-compassion. Okay, I'm not going to read this. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, that's my journey, folks. That's my journey right now. Understanding, forgiving yourself. Maybe it's a problem of not believing you're entitled to forgiveness. I don't know. I'm working on it, man. That's my journey. I'm going to end it at this, that it's my journey. And before I continue, Oh, the art of acknowledging of where you at. Yeah, I already covered that. Okay, yeah. So shout out to Burkina Faso, who apparently have made the decision that French is no longer, what's the word? French is no longer the official language of their country. Good for them. Good for them. Now, there's a lot of pissed off French people out there going to lose their fucking mind that these niggers aren't respecting the language of their colonizers. I don't know what to say. Oh, I guess I just brought that up because the title of today's episode is French. On one end, I like the fact that I'm bilingual, but on the other end, I'm like, yeah, I don't like how we became bilingual, how we mastered the white man's language, but that's another story. All right, gang, this concludes today's episode. As always, if you want to holler at me, you can find me on these Twitter streets through the handle at bblizzat or at shutuppodcast, on these TikTok street through the handle at b.black, or on Instagram threads through the handle at Shut Up Podcast. But if you're really serious about finding me, find me on the internet, on these internet streets. Go to shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One last time to the person who won't stop saying nigga. All right, shutuppodcast.com. I'm just trying to be original. Yeah. Yeah, that's my stomping ground on the internets. All right, you can find like anything you need to know about me is or about this podcast is on there. But the email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple. Actually, I want to say, I think I'm on every platform, because I'm on Podbean. I'm on every platform you can find your podcast, except TikTok. I'm going to look into that. Not TikTok, oh my God. Except Spotify. I got beef with Spotify. I'll get over it at some point. Well, who knows? Maybe or not. But it's fucked up, yeah, because Spotify's got the podcast game unlocked. Ain't that a bitch? Anyways, yo, thank you for listening, as always. And please, be kind to your favorite podcast. Okay? All right. Peace.
I am your king now!